Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the topics concerning friendship that Marcus Tullius Cicero addresses early on in his work on friendship is the relationship between what gets translated in some of the texts as advantage, also as usefulness or utility, and friendship itself. And there's a long back history to this that we should reflect upon a bit. Aristotle very famously distinguished three different kinds of friendship, one of which is genuine friendship, and it's friendship in terms of the good as such, or the noble virtue. You get to know the person and value them for themselves. And then there's friendships of pleasure. And then there's friendships of utility or usefulness, to sum feron in Greek, utilitas in Latin. And so Cicero is well aware of this set of distinctions. Now, friendships of utility are friendships in the weakest sense. They break down quite easily because they're based on the mutual usefulness of the people to each other. And within the scope of that relationship, they have the elements of friendship, for example, mutual goodwill, so long as the usefulness holds up. So the usefulness is the basis for the friendship, not like friendships where the basis is you actually liking the person and admiring them and thinking they're a good person and wanting to share time and indeed your life with them. So we've got two different kinds of friendships. And Cicero is less willing than Aristotle to call friendships of utility friendships in any real sense. They are definitely relationships, but they're lacking in some of the key elements. And so there's this long backstory already philosophically, and then there's all sorts of discussions about real life friendships that people are having that sometimes break down. So we can say that friendship definitely for Cicero is something that is advantageous. The question is the basis of it advantage? And Cicero thinks that the basis of it, a genuine friendship, is not the friendship's advantageousness or usefulness. He does note that there are quite a few people who do reduce friendship to advantage or usefulness. And they assume that advantage is, as he puts it, the cement of friendship. As a matter of fact, he frames it in a verbal way, saying that it's what holds that friendship together. Nam si utilitas conglutinaret amicitias, right? And then he says, eadem commuta dissolveret. When that's gone, when that usefulness is taken away, the friendship breaks apart, it dissolves. So, you know, in this case, what we've got is a double use of the advantageous. The advantage is what sparks the friendship. One person needs something from another. The other person needs something from them. And then they have the friendship going on so long as they're getting what they need. The friendship perdures. And once you take that element away, it's gone. Cicero thinks that this is a misguided view of friendship. It shouldn't be based on usefulness. As a matter of fact, he spends a good bit of time explaining why real friendship is actually something that arises out of nature. But he has two other considerations that are very important as well that are connected with this notion of arising out of nature. One is that people who don't need things from other people, and I think he has in mind his great friend Scipio, Laelius's friend here, very successful person in life who didn't really need things from other people, but who was very friendly towards them, was helping them out. He said, well, what advantage is he getting from them? Really, no advantage. He doesn't need their praise. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their political offices. He's got it all. He just wants to do good where good can be done. And so if friendship were only based on usefulness, nobody would do that sort of thing, right? We would always say, well, what am I going to get out of it? You're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to get the opportunity to be a friend, and that's a good thing. The other thing that we want to keep in mind is that for Cicero, there are certain key elements or dimensions of any real friendship. One of them is affection felt towards the other person. The other is what he calls goodwill, benevolentia. And this is something that, again, Aristotle identified as at the core of real friendship as well. So we feel mutual goodwill towards others, and that's really what provides the basis of the friendship, not the usefulness. The usefulness is something that comes out of friendship, and, you know, a good friendship ought to be useful in some respects. But it's not the basis of it, and it's not what holds the friendship together if it's a genuine friendship. Now, all that said, Cicero is going to say that the greatest advantages will be realized from friendship, right? So what are some of these greatest advantages? He actually says, friendship offers advantages almost beyond my power to describe. Almost, because he is going to describe them, of course. So he says, in the first place, how can life be what Ennius calls the life worth living if it does not repose on the mutual goodwill of a friend? Again, we see that benevolentia, goodwill, is absolutely central. You can live a life, but how is it going to be the life worth living, the good life, without friends? Mutual goodwill is part of what makes life worth living, makes it a decent life. And you can think about the times when you've been particularly lonely or isolated, on your own, don't know anybody, separated from the people that you do know through disagreements or things like that, and how it takes a lot of the joy and luster out of one's life. And I think he's quite right there. He says, what is sweeter than to have someone with whom you may dare discuss anything as if you were communing with yourself? Now, that is a really wonderful phrase there, and it captures something about friendship. You know, you can have your coworkers, but there's sides of yourself that you wouldn't reveal to them, right? Some people even don't reveal themselves to their lovers, their romantic interests. They have their life over here with them, and then they have, you know, their friends, and their friends actually know them better. We make sitcoms and movies about this. Sooner or later, the lover discovers that the friend actually knows the person better, and they feel upset and jealous about this, and a lot of plot points ensue after that, depending on which movie we're talking about. But there's a reason for that. Genuine intimacy means being able to share yourself with another person. And there is something, provided yourself is a good self, there's something really good about that. Even being able to bear the parts that are bruised and broken and scarred over and in need of healing can be incredibly liberating as well. So that's one side of that. He also says, in prosperity and in adversity, friends help us out. So he says, how could your enjoyment in times of prosperity be so great if you did not have someone whose joy in them would be equal to your own? And it's not just a matter of, well, you discovered a mountain of candy bars, so you need somebody else to eat through that mountain with you. No, even if they're not enjoying the candy bars, let's say that they hate chocolate, but they find out that you've discovered this mountain of candy bars, and it's your favorite kind, right? And imagine that you won't get sick of it after eating, you know, I don't know, a case of them or something like that. They delight in your doing well. And so in prosperity, your friends can share in that prosperity in important ways. It augments your own happiness, you might say. A little bit further down, he also talks about that as well. He says, friendship adds a brighter radiance to prosperity. Splendiores facit amicitia, right? There's that. And then what about when you're not doing well? What about in adversity, when things have gone off the rails? Well, we need friends in those times as well. And he says, adversity would be hard to bear without him to whom the burden would be heavier even than to yourself. And a little bit further down, he says that the way in which friendship lessens the burden of adversity is by dividing and sharing it. So, you know, friends come and console us. They may, in fact, be able to help us out in some degree, but sometimes they can just be there for us. And that is part of what makes life good. That's one of the advantages of friendship. Going on a little bit further, he talks about friendship projecting hope, spes in Latin, into the future. That it allows us to exhibit a kind of orientation towards what is to come that we wouldn't have if we were entirely on our own. So that's another advantage. And then he says something that's become, by his time, a sort of commonplace. Again, Aristotle is one of the people who talks about this earlier than Cicero, that the friend is, in a certain way, here he says, a kind of image, an exemplum of oneself. In other places in this text, a little bit later on, he will bring up the proverb that a friend is another self. And that we sometimes think of ourselves as one soul and two bodies, that there's a connection between us, right? We talk about soulmates or things like that. Now, this is only possible within a genuine friendship. It's not going to be something that happens through the contingencies of just hooking up with somebody or meeting somebody in a bar, being a classmate or a neighbor. Although, you know, it could blossom and develop into that if you're both good people. But this, he thinks, is something that is quite valuable for us human beings. He says that whoever looks upon a true friend looks on this image of himself. And we can think about, well, why does that matter? It's not a narcissistic thing. Narcissus, of course, was the youth who died by looking at his beautiful image in the pool and forgetting to eat because of that. Instead, it's a being able to discover things about yourself. You notice that later in the book, Cicero will also say friends have to hold each other to standards. And so that other self could be the one who says to you, man, you're screwing up. You need to fix this part of yourself. And then finally, one of the other great advantages of friendship that Cicero talks about that is very interesting here is the capacity for friends to remain present to us, to remain, you could say, active in our lives, even when they are not there. And he gives out several different modalities of this. He says, friends, though absent, are at hand, though in need, yet abound, though weak, are strong, and harder saying still, though dead, are yet alive. Even the friends that we've lost are in a certain way with us. Why? He says that we have the tender recollection and the deep longing that still attends them. He says, these things make the death of the departed seem fortunate and the life of the survivors worthy of praise. And so we're able to hold on to relationships of people who have passed out of our life for one reason or another, but towards whom we had this mutual goodwill. And we can keep that alive even past the physical death of those people or the separation. So these are, in his view, many of the advantages of friendship. I skipped over one here that I need to come back to. He says that friendship contains many things. And this is an interesting passage here. What does he mean by that? So he says that if we consider the goods that people want, some prefer riches, some prefer good health, all of these sorts of things, right? But those are good for one type of thing. He says that most other objects of desire are adapted to a single end, for the most part. Riches, money, for spending, right? I mean, you can't eat the money. You can buy something to eat with it. That's what wealth is good for. Influence, for getting honor. Public office, for reputation. Now, you could say, well, maybe that's the wrong idea of public office, right? But he's talking about what most people think about here. Pleasures, sensual enjoyment, health, freedom from pain and full use of your bodily functions. And then he says, but friendship embraces, and the word here is continet, right? So it extends to, it contains, it includes multiple things, res plurimas. He says, turn wherever you are. It is ever at your side. No barrier shuts it out. It is never untimely and never in the way. So friendship, in a way, is a good that is unlike other goods. And so that makes it yet more advantageous than these other goods in attaining what it is that we genuinely desire. So these are all major advantages of friendship that derive from having a good friendship. They're not the basis of friendship. They are the fortunate result, you might say. And they probably do play a kind of cementing role, but without the goodwill, the benevolentia that has to be there, they're not going to last very long, and you probably won't actually attain these advantageous conditions and things. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.